Welcome into DC On Screen, a podcast about the DC Universe properties being brought to film and television. I'm your host, David Z. Robertson, and this, the last member of the Helgramite people, Jason.
Hello.
Or was it Helgramite?
Helgramite?
Yeah, they kept saying Helgramite. So
Helgramite?
I guess since they changed it to an alien species.
Right.
Maybe it was always Helgramite, and I just always pronounced it wrong. That's probably a possibility.
It's possible, yeah.
Probably a possibility.
We just managed to figure out Melissa Benoist's name last week. Let's just err in favor of someone else pronouncing something correctly.
Well, no, it's not because you're a woman, Miss Danvers. I was going to say it was an alien. I was an alien. Yeah. That's the last time they get.
That's the last, your last strike on that one? On the because I'm a girl line?
Yes. Hopefully that was them putting it away.
I'm hoping. Because that was
tucking it away into a dark drawer in the back of a closet somewhere.
It was just weird. I like her, though. She just pushes right through. Just pushing right through the writers wishing they were writing some other show.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my message so far to the writers. Like, the characters you're developing are, so far, you're working for me. Just keep working on your show and stop talking about the shows you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just do your thing, dude.
Now, I've got to talk about this. There is a fire near an oil ship. Right? Like an oil tanker? Supergirl goes to save them. Is it just me? Like, the fire chief is like, what are you doing? Superman would have already blown out the blah, blah, blah by now. And I'm sitting there going, like, you are the lamest fire chief ever. You're telling Supergirl to hurry up. I haven't seen you do a damn thing. You and two other guys are standing there with your thumbs shoved so far up your asses.
He's just like... I really didn't see them doing anything too productive. There's an entire tanker, there's a fire, and they're not even the ones standing there with a hose. He was just apparently standing there waiting for Supergirl, watching his little clock tick by.
Right. Him and two of his buddies are just standing there being dicks to Supergirl.
Right.
So, yeah, I've got nothing for those guys.
Yeah.
That was just ridiculous.
There's a fire. Like, there's a fire right there, and there's clearly, like, behind them, there's these giant barrels that say petroleum that no one's bothered moving.
Uh-huh.
It's a weird setup, man. It just is. And I wondered, I don't know how flight works. I don't. I wondered, though, if it wouldn't have been easier to push the ship rather than pull it.
Yeah. Either way, I felt like I was in sort of a super-powered Laurel and Hardy episode. Just... like, old-school comedic hijinks, like, womp, womp, womp. And maybe I've been watching and reading superheroes for too long, but as soon as the oil spill happened, I was like, why are you not, like, cycloning that shit out of the ocean right now?
Right.
Like, you can contain it, Supergirl. You can contain it.
I know she knows not of these tricks. She's just learning.
I was a little disappointed because
through the episode.
Yeah, Cat Grant is like naming all the stuff that she did. You're like, yeah, and then you left the oil in the ocean.
Right.
Well, she saved that plane. Well, yeah, and then they're still trying to figure out how to get it out of the ocean.
Right. She just left it bobbing there.
Like, oh God, why? Why is she not leaving the office right now and going and like flying and picking that shit up and going, sorry guys, I was a dick.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like a simple thing to do. Just head in there one night, swim down, pick the plane up, put it on shore.
Right.
Maybe save some crews, some money, time. Cat's little line.
Sorry, go ahead.
I don't like the fishes, but it comforts me to know that got me. That was pretty good.
That they're swimming around. Yeah.
That they're down there swimming around. That one got me. Cat's really one of my favorite parts of this thing right now. You know, she's funny.
How surprising is that?
I know. She's absolutely funny, though.
I told you, though, dude. I told you.
I'm in.
I've liked Calista Flockhart since Ally McBeal.
I know. Don't blame you.
That being said, I haven't seen her in anything other than Ally McBeal.
Well, like I said, I've seen her pop up here and there, and turns out she's actually good. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we all learn.
One of the things I really thought was interesting was I really liked that Windshot was such a big fan of Maxwell Lord. And I did enjoy Maxwell Lord saying, like, National City does not need Metropolis problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he makes some good points. Mm-hmm. All the bad guys keep coming to Metropolis because Superman's flying around.
Right.
I like it.
No, you could
Let's get into some of that.
You can make a believable, you know, local, resourceful hero that completely does not like this whole trend. You can make that work.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to have a little trouble with me just because I'm not sure I like the guy playing Maxwell Lord yet. I'm just going to have to get used to him. I'm gonna try to let it grow on me a little bit. Just on it.
I was pretty happy with them name dropping Lois Lane, Clark Kent, and Perry White
right.
in the episode.
And
I was pretty excited about
Gat
that.
Gat has, you know, this wonderful little backstory for herself where she's, you know, writing for Perry or basically just getting coffee for people, finally gets to write the story, you know. It goes back to she's just working for Perry White back in the day. And I like all the interconnectedness. I did.
You know what made me laugh in a bad way?
Mm-hmm.
Is when Supergirl is running around trying to, like, do the little things, like saving the snake from the tree and all that shit. And then, like, it's like, Supergirl doing all these nice things, blah, 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 has National City saying, what oil spill? I was like, that's not how that works.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fairly certain that's not how.
After the little montage when they're doing the, report's coming up and they do a quick, dude, those are the best placed photographers in the history of news reporting.
Mm-hmm.
It took me out of it even, man. They just pulled scenes from their own show and showed them again.
Oh, man. My girlfriend, Bethany, she actually... Dude, Bethany sent me, like, pretty much every one of those headlines. They had typos.
Yeah.
Like, oh, ridiculous wow. typos. Like, if you actually look at them, they're ridiculous.
That's pretty good.
Like, I didn't think about it, but, let's see. Supergirl stops robbery, see, something appears to be working its way upward in tandem with Supergirl, but, like, where was the part that was the bad? Oh, it's IT apostrophe S.
Mm.
So, Supergirl saves couple trapped in car. Family of the couple, incredible, thankful.
Oh, God, it does say that, doesn't it?
Yep.
I had to pull up the episode and look. Sure enough, here we are. It's mm-hmm. bad.
So, like, yeah, there are, like, typos in every one of those... headlines.
It's bad. I don't even want to know what's in the sub, the little, what do they call the little sub runner? I don't know what the little, what's that strip of news that never stops at the bottom of the screen?
Oh, the ticker.
Ticker. Thank you.
News ticker. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just getting typos in my text message. And I'm like, I haven't seen the episode yet. Stop.
Oh, but look, before that, and I really do love, you know, when she's just being Kara and she's absolutely awkward, it's a lot of fun. She mm-hmm. is so awkward, though, in that first meeting where Kat demands a sit-down with her before the episode. Mm-hmm. Like, what did she go into? Some story about a video about cats or something? It got real strange real quick. There's a moment where James Olsen, I keep wanting to call him Jimmy, but I suppose that's not right with the show.
I call him Jimmy.
There's a quick little moment where Jimmy kind of... He has a look on, like he's about to strangle her for just a second there.
Uh huh.
It's a wonderful man. There's so much hate in that 1 second. he's regretted every life decision he's ever had that brought him to this office.
Yeah. Oh man.
Hey, do you like the training room?
No, I did like the training room. I kind of really enjoyed that.
I dug it.
Did you like Jimmy's explanation of why Superman's never been outed as Clark Kent?
I didn't completely buy it, but I thought it was neat.
Yeah, I didn't buy it.
But it was a neat take, though.
He's able to hide because people can't believe there's a hero in their midst.
Right.
Okay. All right. I'll go along with it.
It was a different take.
It's no dumber than eyeglasses.
It's definitely no dumber than eyeglasses. That's the thing, is like, we weren't going to go downhill.
Oh my gosh, dude, the DEO guy who analyzes Helgramite's blood acts like he's in a freaking 5-hour energy commercial.
Isn't it? It's the hammiest thing I think I've seen on the show yet.
He like walks out and like stands at like a 45 degree angle and holds the like the vial of blood out, and he was like, this blood is blah blah blah. He's eating DDT.
Yeah. It was like he got a small part and he was, no, if I just really own this, they'll ask me back on. No, man. No. Like, next time they need him,
you gotta
just buy a few pork shanks and film them instead. Write the lines on the bottom.
They have a scene where everyone in the DEO is trapped and they pull the old robot chicken scene. Everyone starts eating him. They're like, that's good ham.
Yeah.
God, what a terrible actor.
Yeah, he was man. he was Laugh out loud.
You gotta imagine the director was like, what the hell is this guy doing?
I gotta imagine there just wasn't a lot of time. They thought that would go quickly, and it just, they had time for like one or two takes, and turned out he was terrible, and they thought, I don't have time to fix this. We have laser vision sparring to shoot, guys. We don't have time to deal with this weird guy's performance.
And I feel like if this was like a show, a more reputable show, like Bones or something.
when you say
yeah,
reputable.
Yeah, you heard me. You heard me. At this point, that is a more reputable show. Well, up until the Sleepy Hollow crossover, it was a more reputable show. I'll say that.
That's the only episode of Bones I've ever watched. I was so curious.
But you'd imagine like a guy, a dude or a girl in a lab coat would walk in and be like, I've analyzed Helgrim's blood, blah, 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 blah. And that would have been like a 2-second scene.
Right.
This dude is like standing there like presenting the blood and like Shakespearean, oh my God.
Yeah. It was weird.
And he wasn't even dressed like a scientist. I like my scientists in white coats.
It's comforting. It is. I tend to trust someone, if somebody has glasses, a lab coat, and several pins stuck into the pocket of that lab coat, I immediately assume that what they are telling me can be referenced, cited, and backed with empirical evidence.
Right.
And there's no reason I should think that. In fact, if they're actually good at wearing that lab coat, they'll tell me immediately that that's flawed thinking, but it's probably easier just to let me believe them and move on with their day, right?
No, I saw this guy and thought, who's this Don De La Douche? I got nothing for him, with his sleeves rolled up and his...
right.
Looked like he just got out of a big truck somewhere. Like
oh.
He's got spinning rims and a big redneck truck.
I liked your initial 5-hour energy commercial. That's who he seemed like to me.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's like selling an extremely exciting new software game or a new app game, whatever they are. Like, Candy Crush 6, presented by this dude.
Right, right. This dude and Colton Haynes.
Right. Who looks like... It looks like Sidney Poitier compared to this guy, really.
Why Sidney Poitier?
I don't know. Pull the name out. I asked my memory for like generic great esteemed actor, and it gave me Poitier. I don't know.
I've written down. Oh come on, the sister in danger again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They'll find other things to do. Once they get into villains, we're gonna have a lot more fun. Like this is still background stuff. This is like the extended pilot almost.
No, what I was impressed with the fact that they went ahead and brought in General Astra.
Mm-hmm.
They went ahead and had her aunt like show up and be like, "By the way, I'm your aunt and I'm
right.
here." I was happy with that.
Right.
I was like, "Okay, good. We don't have like a whole season of her like hiding behind shadows." Now, one thing I wish that it would hide behind a shadow
Let
was
me guess.
The damn silver streak in her hair.
Oh, that too. Okay.
Yeah, that was bad. It's distracting. It doesn't look real.
I could have sworn you were going to say, like, I want the fucking people talking through TVs to show up on screen so they can stop talking through TV. Like, what? One of your...
That too.
You shouldn't have, like, the main mechanism for your big bad, the introduction of your big bads. It shouldn't be something that has been heavily featured on Mystery Science Theater. Just don't. Don't do it. Some of the worst movies in the history of sci-fi have been the, like, aliens talking to their alien overlord.
Yeah.
Through the giant... Metatronic screen device or whatever the fuck they're calling it in those terrible movies.
I feel like someone looked around and said, you know, we haven't seen this trope in a while.
And there are times where you have to realize there's a reason.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, something like in the pilot episode, Kara said that the S shield means House of L and said it means hope. This episode, they say it means stronger together.
Did she
Is
say
the
hope?
Shield going to mean... Yep, she did.
Gotcha.
Are they going to... What? Are they just going to come up with a new meaning for the S-Shield every episode based on the theme?
It's like a Rorschach shield. The S is the hero you need right now.
Mm-hmm.
So on.
Okay. Yeah, if they keep doing that, I'm going to be pissed. I'm already pissed.
Eventually the S will get sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
The S stands for Great Deals at Sierra Toyota.
I was like, dude, oh shit, Hank Henshaw already lost his family.
Oh yeah, yeah. So we're post good guy Henshaw.
And then he walks away after he's like, don't tell her I called her Supergirl.
And then
he like walks around the corner, and his eyes turn red, which is universally
a bad thing.
A bad thing.
A bad thing. Yeah.
That means he's evil, y'all.
In case you've never seen TV before.
Or at least a robot.
Your friendly note.
It might be kind of bad, but not really.
Your friendly neighborhood robot will explain these rules to you. If it has flashing red eyes, it's likely bad.
And
this rule applies to.
Well, yeah, no, that's spiders. That's pretty much it. Spiders, clowns, and robots. And as an old school fan of the Twilight Zone, or a fan of the old school Twilight Zone, I should say, I do prefer to the pronunciation robot.
That's fair. That's fair.
So yeah, if it's not a robot, it's a cyborg.
Yeah, we'll be good.
I don't want to live in a world with a robot. A robot's a toy.
How does his xenophobic ass feel about robotry, huh?
That's a wonderful name. Robotry. Robotry. I like that word.
Hey, there was a couple of quick little, you know, Jimmy Supergirl moments that I actually really love. When it, like, he asks her to look out at the city, tell me what you see, and she starts naming crap, and I was endeared. And there's that bar where that guy always cards me. He knows I'm over 21.
That didn't make me laugh.
That got me a little bit. I was endeared. I've started to really like this girl. I mean, the very last part, you know, it seems so. I felt bad for her, you know. Ask me anything you wish. She asks for a hug. You just see her. It's just a really sad look on her face. But I give her this. She goes through. She's sad for about 2 seconds that she can't get a hug, and then goes right into, I have business to attend to. Tell me about
Tell me about Astra.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Helgramite is fighting her sister. I can't remember her sister's name. Alex, maybe?
Which one? Astra?
Supergirl's sister.
Oh, Carol. No.
Yeah.
Is it Carol? God, we've got to write these things down. She's whole cloth. That's my excuse. She's whole cloth new.
All right. So so Helgramite's fighting the sister, and the sister kicks Helgramite in the balls. She's like, you know what else my people have? Those.
Yeah, that was good.
No. I didn't think it was good. Like,
I liked it.
I really wish he would have just looked at her confused and went, ribs? Or just something. Just
she didn't give him a lot of time to deal with her little wordplay conundrum before she, you know, Rochambeau'd him.
Like, my favorite and most unexpected bits with aliens came from an episode, Star Trek VI.
I was sure it was going to be Welcome to Earth, motherfucker.
No. Kirk and McCoy have been sentenced to life in this terrible Klingon prison, this penal colony, Ruripente. And this dude is this gigantic alien is attacking Kirk in this prison. And he's like, what does he want? And like the Iman, David Bowie's wife, is just like standing there smoking a cigar. And she says, he wants your allegiance to the Brotherhood of Aliens. He's like, well, he's got it. He also wants your coat. But this creature like totally traps Kirk, and Kirk's on the ground, and he like just kicks up and kicks the alien in the knees.
Oh, lovely.
And the alien like falls over moaning, seemingly dying, and he gets up and he's like, God, I was lucky that thing had knees. And then Mon goes, those were not his knees. He's like, Bones, go over there and make sure he knows we're not holding any grudges. And Bones goes, well, suppose he is.
Right. I love that bit. TOS writers had just seen a French film before they wrote that one, I think. Just feels right. Those were not his knees.
I don't know. I really like the bit, man.
It's good.
It is a trope. Pretty unutilized. So aliens have different places they keep their body parts.
Right. It was good.
I don't think I have much else going on for the Supergirl episode. I really wish the show would be a little more flashy. And by flashy, I mean like the Flash.
Yeah, right. Of course. They need a Cisco. They're in desperate need of a Cisco. a good... Well, Wynn's kind of close, but he's not going to be that way for long.
Yeah, I thought Wynn was going to be the Cisco, and he's not so far. Yeah. And the men on the show...
Plus, we're thinking Wynn's eventually going to turn on him.
Yeah, I'm assuming. But right now, so far, like, Wynn and Jimmy are both kind of playing this role as, like, the... both of them are acting like kind of like the... kind of the nerdy guys who are trying to overcompensate for a girl being cooler than they are or more in charge. Well, and I don't know.
The funny part is what they're actually doing, it looks like, is they're both competing over who can best help out Supergirl. Like, they're
right.
Which would seem like a thing worth competing for. Like, if there was a Supergirl in my local community, I would want to be, like, her number one ace. That would be, I'm immortal. I'd like to make that contribution.
Except she's awkward as hell. She absolutely is.
And, by the way, they keep doing these little, they did it again in the alley. There are these little shots where she'll say, like, because Wynn's my friend. And then you'll look over at Wynn's, you know, heartbreaking. It'll just be a quick little shot, but that will be coming up. I don't know when.
I feel like
it's going to show up at some point.
I feel like I'm watching Super New Girl.
Right.
I'm not sure that's starring what I wanted Zoe Deschan
dash L.
We are DC on screen.
You gotta go there. Just had to tap out on that one.
Yeah.
Look, I give them
That was actually so good. I had nothing else. That was actually that good. Like, I had nothing else at all. No other place to go.
No contributions were required, I suppose.
You left your quarry, no ground to run to.
Hey, look, now, if they keep writing the show as well as that... All right, look, the balcony scene where Jimmy's kind of down and she pumps him back up. They keep writing that character. That's a leader.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
She was clearly already leading her little team. I thoroughly approved.
Yeah, and she has the shoulders of a god.
Absolutely. Good God, she looks like she could kick my ass.
Those deltoids, man. I feel like we're not normal guys.
That's some hard work in the gym right there. Like, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I feel like we're not normal guys. Like, I think most guys are, well, I mean, they're Jeb Bushing it over here. And they're like, oh, she's super hot. She's super hot. Hey, hey, hey. Nope, we're genuinely.
We're all like, man, she's really filling out that costume up the shoulder area.
Yeah. God, she's built like a linebacker.
She actually genuinely is. Like, yeah. Depending on her speed, I might put her at cornerback, but we'll see.
Meanwhile, we're using our tummies for pillows.
Right. Did you know the average male can use his stomach as a resting place for a plate? It takes years
of
training.
Or a small child.
Right.
It's our version of the kangaroo's pouch.
Your nephew's favorite resting place. I want to sit on Uncle Dave's tummy. Those are going to be his first words.
He's already had several first words. None of them involved me, sadly.
Those are going to be his first words that hurt you.
No, his first words
true.
That hurt.
That's not true. His You'd first... be absolutely delighted. You'd be honored to give that
tummy. I would. The first words that would hurt me is, I like Star Wars better.
Oh, no.
But Star Trek.
Right.
But Doctor Who. There are so many better things.
Right.
Damn you, brother-in-law who likes Star Wars.
Right.
All right. By the way, security breach in Sector 52.
Yeah, I know. Just Jesus, man.
I think that's Geoff Johns' only version of continuity now. It's just throwing in 52 references. I'm like, it's over. It's done. The new 52 is gone, man.
Right.
Just be done with it, man.
You know what my dream ending for, like, the season one of Supergirl is?
Superman carrying her out after the crisis?
No, that's my dream ending for season four. Season one, okay. And it's related. You end the series. Whatever the big bad is, Maxwell Lord, maybe, she takes him out. Everything's fine. Everyone survived. Yay, good stuff. And the last scene is just, like, a time lapse of the sky just slowly turning red. And then we hop off, come back for season two.
Okay.
Starring Constantine. Because now we can.
Stop! It hurts.
I know. All right, I give up. Let's go talk about him for a while, actually.
All right. We are DC on screen, and we are proud members of the Giant Size Team-Up Network. If you would like, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. You can go and find every episode at dconscreen.com. And if you'd like a similar podcast about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, go check out our friends Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall, the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, or mcucast.com. We're coming back with a Flash episode in probably just a few minutes. So until then, keep some DC on your screen.